Ron Shaich is the founder of Panera Bread, having taken this company from a 400-square-foot store to a restaurant brand that has more than 2,400 bakery cafes, over 120,000 employees, and nearly $6 billion in annual sales. The result? Panera was the best-performing restaurant stock for the past 20 years, delivering a total shareholder return 44 times better than the S&P 500 from 1997 to 2017. Ron has now turned his attention to fixing some of the corporate weakness that he sees that may be causing unintentional damage to our country. Let's find out more. Welcome, Ron Shaich. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Fine. Thanks for taking your time. I really appreciate it.
Good.
The restaurant business isn't easy, you've been quoted as saying. You know, the business is like dirt farming. The world doesn't need another restaurant. You need to be crystal clear about what you're focusing on. Going back a ways, did you have a big picture when you started Panera so many years ago, or did it develop over time?
I think it's continued to develop over the 36 years I ran our company and the 26 years I ran a public company. Mm-hmm. The reality is that unless you're able to deliver a total experience that is materially better than other competitive alternatives, unless you're able to provide an experience that customers walk past your competitors to come to you, mm-hmm. you don't win here.
Yeah.
And this is a very difficult industry. 9 out of 10 restaurants go out of business. You need to deliver for the guest in a profound way. And that's always been the focus.
Well, you know, you also were around and starting to develop this at the beginning of what turned out to be a $40 billion segment of the restaurant industry, this good quality food, fast casual, as they say. So I guess the trend was your friend as well, but you saw pretty far ahead and you took the actions to take advantage of those trends. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I believe the most fundamental role of a CEO is to sit back, understand what's going on, discover today what's going to matter tomorrow, and make sure my organization is there as that future unfolds. Mm-hmm. And you don't need me to tell you what they did yesterday. You don't need me to tell you what my competitors are doing. You need me to lead this organization into the future. And so we've had a continual history of that. Panera has existed for 36 years as a company. It was originally a French bakery, and we took that French bakery and converted it into a French bakery cafe. Mm-hmm. We let the croissant and bread no longer be the product, but a platform to sell soup, salad, and sandwiches.
Yeah.
And then I can remember in the mid-90s, it was very clear to me as I traveled the country and I listened, I tried to listen with empathy to our guests. And you'd hear, I don't know, 1 out of 3, 1 out of 4 consumers complaining about fast food.
Yeah.
And they'd say, I want something better. And you know, just listening, you could see they wanted real food. They wanted environments that engaged them. They wanted people that cared. They wanted environments that actually, as currency, gave them a sense of self-respect. And so for us, we began to build Panera around that kind of model.
Mm-hmm.
Later, that became, people began to call that fast casual. We led the way.
Yeah.
My friend Howard Schultz at Starbucks followed, the folks at Chipotle later. But it was really about seeing there was a niche, and there always are niches, within fast food that offered an extraordinary opportunity for us. And today, that's a $50 billion business.
You decided to take Panera public, and that was to raise capital to fund your expansion, kind of a typical story there. However, in 2007 and 2000...
And I will add
sure.
for your listeners what happens to so many companies, to give liquidity to some of our investors.
Ah, of course. Oh, good point. Right. Unfortunately, though, in 2007 and 2015, you ran into significant challenges from activist investors, really in the form of hedge funds, and that shaped the course of business from that point forward. Tell us quickly about that and what direction it led you.
Well, Steve, most of the kinds of transformations that led to this, you know, led us to beat the S&P 500 by 44-fold, what led us to deliver 25% annual returns annually over the last 2 decades, was about 5 and 6 year transformation efforts and really betting on a way we would go to market. And the truth of the matter is, when you're going through that, nothing's proven, and nothing's proven until it's done. Quick story, I can remember when we made that bet on fast casual and this new vision, everybody would say to me, all there is fast food and fine dining. And people would say to me, Ron, this isn't going to work. Well, now, 30 years later, people say to me, Ron, why didn't you tell me about it? Yeah. And I look at them and I go, I was telling you. Uh-huh. Nobody wanted to listen.
They didn't want to listen.
You could have bought my stock by the wheelbarrow for one penny on the dollar of what it eventually traded for. But nobody wanted to listen there.
Right.
And my point is, again, nothing's proven until it's done. The most important thing is to understand it takes a leap of faith to move into the future. Mm-hmm. And what I have found is each time I've taken this company through transformation, in the end, it worked. Everybody got excited. But when I was going through it, there were folks that really wanted to short-term the company. And I can remember in 2015, it didn't take very much. We were investing in technology as part of a program to offer digital alternatives, to offer clean food, to improve the loyalty program, mm-hmm. to ultimately position Panera as the best competitive alternative. All those things became the themes of the restaurant industry by 2017. And led Panera to have a phenomenal 2017, mm-hmm. led the industry in what are called same-store sales. But in 2015, we were spending, at that time, $50 million a year to build that. And it doesn't take any skill to walk in the door and say, hey, I bought 1% of your company in stock. I got another 7 or 8% in options. Mm-hmm. I'm now the owner. You work for me. I need you to cut the G&A by a third. I need you to wipe out all this technology investment. And you know what? You can dip in and out whatever the cash flow is to your investors. We'll sell out at that point and somebody else can worry about the carcass. The truth in a matter, it doesn't take much to press for the short term. And straight up, as somebody who's run a public company for 26 years, I could always short term it.
Yeah.
But as a large shareholder, what I want and what I believe shareholders deserve are management teams that are willing to look beyond the next quarter or even the next year and do the hard work of leading and managing, which is figuring out what's going to matter tomorrow and then get this company to deliver on that.
I'm speaking with Ron Shaich, the founder of Panera Bread, and we're going through his experiences and what he's learned and what he's trying to basically tell us about what's going on in business today and with some fixes, because he's not just talking about it, he's actually actively working to change things. So it's this pressure or this tension between short-termism, which is what did you do this quarter? How are the profits looking? And if profits are weak, then we'll take your stock outside and shoot it, even though, the business seems to be building and so on.
Not only if your profits are weak, if you're investing, we're going to question every investment
you make. Yeah, because that's easy. As you said, it's easy to go in there and say, well, let's take out this $15 million and look what's left over. And that'll pump the price of the stock up. And then as an activist investor, I can go in and sell it. And then I'm in and I'm out. And then what do you really have left in the business is the question. And that's what you're basically saying. So the short-term thinking versus long-term thinking. But now there's starting to be a backlash. And I think you're on the vanguard of this backlash. I mean, we've started to see some companies say, well, we're not really going to report certain things every single quarter. We're not going to get caught up in the minutia of, what exactly we're doing and trying to focus more on the long term. However, it seems to me that that's going to be quite an uphill battle. What do you think?
Well, Steve, I think the first step is for your listeners, for the citizens of our country to understand how this has happened and how it doesn't serve us. The reality is 40 years ago, the average shareholder held the stock for 8 years. Mm. At this point, they're renting that stock for 8 months. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of reasons that's happened. You have hedge funds that are increasingly trading on the next inflection point. What are the comp store sales next quarter?
Right. Sure.
You have money managers, active money managers, that are themselves intended on short-term results. So they're pressing for short-term results. You have the prevalence of index funds that are essentially outsourcing corporate governance.
Yeah.
To ISS and Glass Lewis, which are outside consulting firms. All of this is magnified by what's called flash trading, algorithm-based trading, mathematical-based trading, which increases the volatility.
Yeah.
All of this leads to an environment in which activists are fostered. The restaurant industry had approximately 20% of their public companies attacked by activists last year.
Mm-hmm.
If we really think one in five of our manager teams are so bad that they need to be run by somebody who's got a financial engineering playbook based in some office tower in New York. We've got bigger problems. And here's the point and why I raise it. Our public markets are fundamentally broken. People don't want to raise money in the public markets at this point. You've got less companies going public last year than you had going public at the height of the recession. Mm. That's a big problem.
Yeah.
That's a serious problem. Long-term money has increasingly become...
Why is
that
a problem? Let's
get to it. Long-term money has increasingly become private, not public. The reason it's an intensely challenging problem for the society is our public companies are going to go away. Small investors are not going to have an opportunity to participate. Mm-hmm. And large investors through private equity will. The reason it's a problem is because if we want real GDP growth, that's what we all talk about.
Right.
In my view, it doesn't just happen through a sugar high tax cut.
Yeah.
The only way people believe GDP growth occurs is through productivity increases and innovation. If you want productivity and you want innovation, you need to make long-term commitments. You need to make long-term bets. If you're only thinking quarter to quarter, the only kind of investment you make, the only kind of ROI you focus on is cost cutting. Mm-hmm. And if that's what we want, that's what we're going to end up with.
Okay.
And the challenge is most people don't understand. It's our system. It's our country. We've got to ask ourselves, is this really serving us? And if it isn't serving us, we've got to challenge ourselves to do better. And there are real structural mechanisms to do better.
Okay, let's discuss one of these that is actually quite new to me. It's called the long-term stock exchange. Are you involved in this? Do you know about it? Do you have a comment on that?
I am not involved in it, but I do have a comment about it. I think that there's a number of people that are searching for answers to this. Jamie Dimon has written about it. Warren Buffett has written about it. They've called for a change in the way guidance works. You've heard President Trump himself really challenge quarterly earnings reports. Mm-hmm. You have Larry Fink of Blackstone, one of the largest investors in the world, speak to this. You have many academics speaking to this problem. My fundamental view is that we need to first address this problem by being aware of it. And then secondly, there needs to be structural remedies. We have the potential, as there are in other countries in the world, to have differential voting rights based on how long you hold the stock. So somebody who's held the stock for 20 minutes mm-hmm. shouldn't have the same influence as those folks that have held it for 10 years.
Okay.
There are other ways to get there, but effectively it's differential voting rights. Secondly, our compensation systems need to be focused much more on long-term results. This world in which compensation is highly focused on short-term is getting us as a society and as an economy the wrong answers. Mm-hmm. And then third, very importantly, we've got to be thinking about the nature of guidance. I don't have a problem with reporting quarterly.
Yeah.
I actually have much more of a problem with reporting and providing guidance, which by its very nature forces the whole discussion, not about the growth of the company, but how do you perform against the guidance?
Well, okay, hold on a second. For those who don't know, when you're talking about guidance, what does that actually mean?
Well, public companies are guiding investors relative to future performance.
So they're saying, this is what we think we're going to do next year or next quarter, that type of thing?
Yes. Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say this to your listeners and to you, Steve. And it's not that difficult, right? The most successful companies in the market are what are called the FANG companies, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. What do they have in common? What they have in common is the ability to have a long-term capital structure. You know, it's like so many other things. I have a son who's 19 years old. He's in college, freshman at WashU in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. You know, if he wanted to go out and party for the next month, he could have a great time. But I don't want to encourage him to do that. I want him to make an investment in his education. I want him to make an investment, frankly, to exercise in himself.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to take care of himself because I want him to think long-term.
Mm-hmm.
It's not any different for our companies. And we've created a system that puts intense pressure on the short term, puts our boards and our management in a position where they get very myopic. Why? They're not bad people. They want to please. They want to win.
Yeah.
They feel a sense of vulnerability. So what did they do? They go short term to provide what is essentially asked of them. And the problem is we as an economy suffer. The very things that drive that long-term growth in the FANG companies are off the table in those kind of companies. And truthfully, for me, We built Panera up into a multi-billion dollar company. Again, the most successful in the restaurant industry. I chose to take it private, to sell it into the private marketplace, because I profoundly worried, as a man of 65 years, how would Panera keep driving what drove its competitive advantage, its ability to make transformative changes? How would we do that 5 and 10 and 20 years in the future if it didn't have my credibility and it didn't have the 17% of the company that I voted? That's the challenge.
All right. My guest, Ron Shaikh. Ron, do you blog? Is there any way people can follow you to go along with you and see what you're thinking?
They can follow me. I have my own website, ronshaikh.com, ronshaikh.com. They can get to me through that.
Okay.
They can Google me. And I also have a couple hundred thousand followers on LinkedIn. So if they're on LinkedIn, feel free to reach out to me.
Very good.
Ron Shaikh, R-O-N-S-H-A-I-C.
S-H-A-I-C-H is the spelling of the last name. And of course, if you've been listening, you know that Ron is the founder of Panera Bread and so many other things. Ron, we are out of time. I need another hour with you, quite frankly, but time won't allow. So thank you very much. And listeners, if you have a question about what we've just discussed or you want to get a discussion going on this, we would love to have some back and forth. If you've got a money issue in your mind, join the conversation and contact us through our website at stevepomerantz.com. Ron, one more time, thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, listeners.